A few weeks back, we took a family trip down to the Henry Vilas Zoo. It was a pretty cold day, but we were bundled up as needed, and we planned our time accordingly, popping into the indoor exhibits in a timely fashion so no one was overwhelmed by the cold. During one of these planned warm-up sessions, we entered into the herpetarium to see what we would find within those walls. Since it was cold outside and quite warm and humid inside the herpetarium, my glasses were all fogged up and I couldn't really see. So as I waited for them to clear up, I noticed through my limited vision that Soren was quite amused by whatever it was on the other side of the glass. As my sight returned, it became clearer to me that the thing that had Soren's undivided attention was something that struck great fear into my heart. On the other side of that plated glass was a giant anaconda. Immediately, my brain and my heart were in dispute. I knew that he was perfectly safe, yet I had a lump in my throat with the idea that this serpent could kill my son in no time. It struck me at that moment of the undeniable frailty of this beloved creation of Kirsten and mine. A moment where I was unexpectedly forced to deal with the mortality of my son, and in a way, the mortality of my legacy and of my very own life. This feeling resurfaced as I reflected on the passage that Jesus referenced in today's gospel about how Moses lifted up a brazen serpent on a pole to save the Israelites from an assault by a horde of poisonous snakes. You can almost picture the panic in their eyes as they saw loved ones and community members succumb to the venomous bites. You can almost hear the cries of the people who had just earlier cried out against Moses and God for leading them into such a barren place. Now they cried out for them, for safety and salvation from these serpents of death. And so Moses, as instructed by God, placed the serpent on a pole and, lifting it up, called upon the people to look upon it and to be saved. What an odd analogy this is for Jesus to make, comparing a serpent to the Son of Man. In these verses, Jesus hearkens back to this story of Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness, comparing being lifted up on the cross to the lifting up of a serpent in the wilderness. The serpent that bit the Israelites becomes the very thing that lets them live. And like the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus recalls this being the case. But Jesus is raised up, and his death on the cross compels us to gaze upon that we are most afraid to look at, our own death. The season of Lent forces us to do just that, to come face to face with our mortality. We begin the Lenten fast by being reminded of this universal truth, that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Whether we want to admit it or not, we have an expiration date. Our bodies are limited in how long they can sustain us in this world. We are going to die. Death is going to come for us at some time, in some particular place. But oh, how eager are we to cast away death? We as a culture have attempted to thwart death at every corner. We have mass-marketed potions, pills, cosmetics to cling to the elusive fountain of youth. We have basically removed our elders from our homes and created wonderful yet mostly secluded communities of our senior citizens. I think mostly in part so that we may continue to deny this resolute truth of life, that we will age and that we are going to die. I wonder if our efforts to keep death at a distance is because we were never meant for death in the first place. In the beginning, when the Creator brought life into being, was the plan for humanity to age and to die? I don't recall this being the case. Perhaps this is ingrained in our very being that we are not meant for death. As Father Alexander Schmemann writes, it is only Christianity who proclaims death to be abnormal. For the true horror of death is not so much the physical end, but much more so the separation from the life of the world and separation from God. For the dead cannot glorify God. And is this not, my brothers and sisters, the very thing for which we were created for? To give glory to God? And so this is the predicament humanity finds itself in, that you and I, as the descendants of Adam and Eve, as descendants of the covenant, are going to die. And worse, we have been and continue to be completely inept at fulfilling God's commandments. Maybe the flip side of the coin of never being made for death, and yet death becoming a part of our worldly experience, is the great fear that lies within it of our end and our judgment before God. But there is good news for us. Even with our apprehension about dying or our uncertainty with much that surrounds it, and yet even though it is true that death has become a reality for us, it is not the ultimate reality. As Saint Augustine reminds us, but in Christ's death, death died. Dead life slew death, just as they who looked upon that serpent perished not by the serpent's bites, so they who look in faith on Christ's death are healed from the bites of sin. But those were healed from death to temporal life, while here Jesus said that they may have everlasting life. And with that comparison, even though we have wandered from the Gospel of St. Matthew, we find ourselves returning to this thread of Jesus as the greater Moses. For in the fourth gospel, we hear about how Moses lifted up the serpent, as later it will come to be that Jesus will be lifted up on the cross. The purpose of this lifting up is to draw all things to himself. As it says in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, "And I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself." It must be noted here that what Jesus will do exceeds what Moses has done. Where Moses' snake would bring life, Jesus' cross would bring eternal life. And it must be taken to heart that the Israelites did not heal themselves from the serpent's poison by simply looking at a snake on a pole. In turn, we do not save ourselves from the curse of sin just by looking at the cross of Christ. It is God who pardons sin, and God who gives eternal life. It is by Christ, the one who on the mountaintop was transfigured, becomes disfigured on the Mount of Calvary. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin itself. Just as the Israelites, who were perishing by the poisonous bites of the serpent, were saved by gazing upon the very thing that was killing them, Jesus likewise would reconcile all creation by becoming the very thing that was condemning it. Jesus on the cross would become for us sin and experience death as separation from God. And through this being lifted up, through his becoming sin that knew no sin, through his separation from God on the cross in our stead, in our place, Jesus removes death's sting. Jesus' victory over death becomes yours and mine. So much so that we may join in the words of the great poet John Donne. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. This death on the cross shows us that Jesus goes first always. Jesus goes first into death out of love for us and for all creation. And he is our brother to the very end. And beyond that end, into eternal life with him. Amen.